soap, dishwashers, roast lamb, roast potatoes. None of those. Easter eggs weren't there. Very different the first Easter, wasn't it? None of those things that we think about, bank holidays, time with the family, none of that was associated with the first ever Easter. So, what was the first Easter like? Well, we're going to find out. If you've got the Bible on your table, could you turn to page 1023? It's the bit which Henry read to us a moment ago. And it's the last eight verses of Mark's Gospel. Mark was one of the four people who gave an account of Jesus' life. We like Mark's Gospel, it's the shortest one, so packed with action, but it's nice and straightforward. So just before we get to that, those of you who like stories and like films, do you like films and stories that have a nice tidy ending, like they all lived happily ever after, or they marry the princess, or marry the prince, or don't get turned into a frog, or something like that? Or do you like a story where you're left puzzling what the ending means? Now, some of you may know this film. Who knows what that picture's from? Days. Life of Pi. That's an annoying film. I mean, come on, what? So either he survived on that boat with the tiger and gets to wherever he went, the other end of the world, can't quite remember, never seen the whole film, seen bits of it, or he's had to eat the rest of his family who are on the boat, and he's never quite sure which is what happened. So that's an example of a story, a film, which has one of those endings where you're puzzling it out at the end and you might be quite frustrated with it. Certainly, it leaves you wondering. Well, in the Gospel of Mark, one of those accounts of Jesus' life, it begins really confidently and it tells us the good news. It says this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. That's the very first verse in Mark's Gospel. But did you hear the last verse that Henry read to us? Verse 8. That sounds like really good news. The last verse doesn't sound like it's quite such good news. It's talking about the women who went to the tomb, find the tomb empty, and it says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. You think, what's gone wrong with Mark's Gospel? It began really well. Good news. And it ends with people trembling and afraid. So why has that happened? You might think, is something missing? Because it seems like we've got this uncertain ending. Is something missing from the end of the book? And it's possible that there is. Possible that some of it was lost. So let's begin with what we do know. Now, who remembers what day Jesus was crucified on? Wasn't crucified on the Sunday, Jonathan? Now, Jonathan knows that because we pay him to know these things, because he's our pastor. So we're just checking, really. He's read his Bible. Jesus was crucified on the Friday. He died and his body was put where? In a tomb, in a hole, in the rock. And then a big rock was rolled over the front of it to shut the body in there. And a couple of the women witnessed it. They saw where his body was laid. The next day, what day comes after Friday? Pardon? Wrong. The Sabbath day comes after Friday. The Sabbath was the Jewish day of rest, our Saturday. So the women couldn't go and do anything that day. But they, at the end of the Sabbath, after sunset, they went and bought spices. Not soap, didn't buy a dishwasher, didn't buy carrots, bought spices to anoint Jesus' body. And these two women and Salome, not Simnah cake, but salami. They bought spices and they went to anoint Jesus' body the next day. And they go there very early in the morning to show their respect and to, you know, to see the burial of Jesus. So Joseph of Arimathea, he had put Jesus' body in this tomb. It seemed like it's a bit of a temporary, you know, at the end of the day, Jesus died, puts the body in the tomb, wraps it in linen cloth as his act of sort of devotion. But with the women going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, there's a real sense of permanence and finality. Are the women expecting Jesus to rise from the dead? Well, you nod, because you'd expect them to think that Jesus is going to rise from the dead, because Jesus kept telling them. 3 times he's told them, this is what's going to happen, I'm going to rise from the dead. But they didn't take it in, they didn't understand it. So they're going to anoint his body because they think, that's it. Jesus dead and over. There's no resurrection they're not expecting. They're not expecting there to be any hope. There's no joyful Easter songs. There's just death and that tomb where Jesus' body is lying. But what do they see when they get there? What's the first surprise when they get there? Does anyone remember? Is the rock still in front of the tomb? Is the rock still covering the entrance? It's not. That's been rolled away. And they get there, and the tomb is empty, and there's a young man or an angel there. And this is what the angel tells them. He gives them the fright of their lives, and he says, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. So Mark's account is really true to life. It hasn't been sort of, you know, coloured up, made to be more impressive, made to be more convincing. We've got missing disciples. None of Jesus' disciples are there. We've got women who are the only witnesses of the angel. And at that time, sorry if you're a woman and take offence at this, but at that time, if you're a woman, you wouldn't have really been believed. You weren't allowed to stand up in a court of law to testify, because it's thought that your account didn't count for anything. And yet it's women who witness the angel and hear what he says. So the end of Mark's gospel isn't a glossy marketing campaign. It hasn't been, you know, drummed up by Peter and Mark to convince the world. And so at the end we have, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and they fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. But what we do have is a revelation. Or we have an explanation from heaven. And that introduces our next point. So the angel has said, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, just as he said. And that's where you'll see him. So we had an uncertain ending at the end of Mark's gospel where it seems a bit strange. But the angel introduces 4 realities or 4 certainties. 4 things that they can be certain of. And here they are. That Jesus was crucified. That he has risen. That he's going ahead of them. And that you will see him. Now looking at those, if you'd been one of the women who had seen Jesus crucified, which of those could you say for sure was a certainty? I think just the first one. Just the first one. They'd seen Jesus crucified. They knew that one was certain. They didn't know that he'd risen. They'd gone to anoint his body. They didn't know that he was going ahead of them. They didn't know they were going to see him again. They thought they would just see the dead body in the tomb. So, what do these realities mean for them, and what do they mean for us today? Well, first one, that Jesus was crucified. It is a historical fact. Many people witnessed it. It's an event in history. He died the death of a criminal. And yet Jesus was the only person who had never done anything wrong. To the women and the disciples, the certainty of the crucifixion seemed the end of their hopes. It seemed like that was everything they had hoped for, over and done with. But in the cross, we see the fulfillment of God's plan of rescue, a promise kept from the beginning of time. We see the action of a God who cares about suffering, who cares about atrocities. When you turn on the news and you see the awful things happening in Ukraine, and you hear about war crimes being committed, and you wonder, will the people responsible for those awful atrocities, will they ever be brought to justice? Well, at the cross, God is showing that he cares about injustice, because he's doing something about it. But he also cares about what you and I do wrong. It's not just what other people elsewhere do wrong. It's what about our own hearts? What about what we say? What about what we think? At the cross, God is showing that he cares about that as well. Because in the crucifixion, we see Jesus paying the debt of our sin. Of all the things that you and I do wrong, he takes that guilt upon himself in our place. So do you know at the cross that Jesus, the Son of God, died for your sins? The second reality is that Jesus has risen. The women heard the explanation, they could see the empty tomb, and the rest of the New Testament provides evidence for the power of the risen Jesus at work in different people's lives. How many people became Christians on one day when Peter preached? Do you remember early in the book of Acts, he stands up to preach and it says over 3,000 people became Christians on that one day. Thousands of people become Christians because of the power of the risen Jesus. So we can't see Jesus alive today, can we? And you might think, it'd be such an easier thing to become a Christian, to follow Jesus, if only I could see him. But you can see the effect of Jesus being alive today in the lives of countless Christians all over the world. Now, can you see the wind? Just see the leaves stirring a bit. You wouldn't look straight out the window, absolutely right. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effect of it. Now, some of you here know what this is. Do you know what that is? Or do you know where it came from? Have a guess. It's not one of my relatives. That came out of our roof when we had the gales back in February. Do you know why? The wind blew it out. Now, I couldn't see the wind, but I could see the effect which the wind had in knocking that out. Really solid bit of mortar, cement like that. Well, the resurrection of Jesus like that, you can't see him face to face now, but you can see the power of Jesus changing different people's lives. And there are people that you will know whose lives have been changed by Jesus. So has your life been changed by Jesus? Are you trusting in the resurrection power of Jesus this afternoon? And the third one is that Jesus is going ahead of you. Now to the women, imagine being told that Jesus is risen and he's going ahead of you. Jesus had told his disciples that he's going to go ahead of them after he'd been resurrected. He's going to meet them in Galilee. And here's the angel confirming it. This is what's going to happen. Even Peter, who denied Jesus three times, is told, you know, he's going to meet Peter as well. And it's a pattern for the disciples to carry on following Jesus. Jesus gone ahead of them. They're to follow him. And the same is true for the church and for Christians today. If you're a Christian, you know that your life has been called to follow Jesus. Just as those early disciples had to know that Jesus was going ahead of them, they had to follow him. So are you following Jesus today? And what does that mean? What does that look like to follow Jesus? Well, it means being obedient to God. It means deciding, you know, what should I do which will please God? Does what I say, does what I think about, does that please God? Do I want to meet with other Christians because I want to worship God? If you're a follower of Jesus, you want to do those things. You want to be like him. You want to do the things that pleases God. And the fourth one, the last one, you will see him. Now, the first followers of Jesus, they were told here that they were going to see Jesus face to face. They were going to meet him again and they were going to see him. But what of us 2,000 years later? When are we going to see Jesus? Not tomorrow, or maybe not tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, if he comes back. But the Bible does tell us, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. That you and I will see Jesus at the resurrection of the dead. That day of the last judgment, which you don't hear about very often, sounds very old-fashioned to say it, but that's what the Bible teaches us. There is a last judgment where we will all see God. And we all need to be ready for that day. And on that day, Jesus is going to judge us. He will judge the living and the dead. And the good news is, because Jesus was crucified, because he's risen, if we trust in Jesus, we can stand before him on that day, knowing that we are forgiven and accepted. And you will see him. So are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to heaven when you will see Jesus face to face and be in the presence of God? So we had an uncertain ending, but four certainties for you and for me to grasp this afternoon. Jesus was crucified. He has risen. He's going ahead of us and we will see him. So no wonder the women were trembling and afraid. They were the first people entrusted with this good news. And that message which they heard from the angel, which they received with fear and trembling, that has transformed the world. And when you think about the people that you know, when you look at the news, don't you think our society, our world needs this message today, this message of good news and of hope? That Jesus was crucified, that he has risen, he's going ahead of us, and you will see him. So let me urge you this afternoon, if you haven't yet grasped those things for yourself, how many of those can you say that you're certain about? And if there's some way you're not certain about them, do so, talk to one of us, or come back another time to learn a bit more. What does it mean to know that Jesus is risen? What does it mean to know that Jesus is going ahead of us and we're to follow him in our lives? What does it mean to know that we're going to see Jesus face to face when he comes back as our judge and as our saviour? I'm going to close with a prayer and then I'm going to hand over to Howard to lead us in prayer. But I'm just going to close with a prayer now before passing over to Howard. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are risen, that you are in heaven now, you've gone before us, and you've conquered death. Help us, Jesus, to put our trust in you so that we know that we are forgiven, and help us to follow you by living lives of obedience to you, so that we can look forward to seeing you face to face and spending eternity in the presence of God. Amen.